So we're going to switch over to the live feed. Welcome to our program. This is episode 80 of Let the Bible Speak. Faith. And we've got a kind of a special guest today. This is Richard Newton. Richard, I like to call him Richard the Voice Newton. He recently gave his very first sermon, and we're kind of excited. He did a really, really good job. One of the things, as I've gone back and looked at his material, one of the things that I've really appreciated is you can look at the scriptures that he used in his sermon, and you can look at the references he made, and he built a sermon that was built on what the Bible says. He let the Bible speak, and he took that together and put it into what was really a great sermon for somebody's first time. So I just got a text, and I learned the hard way that if you ignore those, that's sometimes somebody telling you your radio's not broadcasting from the FM station. I learned that the hard way in the past, so now I twitch every time my phone bings when I'm on a program. So one of the things I want to let folks know is we're glad you're with us. This is going to be recorded and posted to the website in high definition. And so, and the audio will also be available as well. But one of the things you can do is you can please, if you've got questions, you've got comments, we encourage you to do that through the Facebook Live app. And what that does is we can see that and we can respond to any questions. And that feed actually gets captured in the video feed that we generate, which means it also gets placed into the video that gets posted to the website. So everything gets wrapped up in a beautiful bundle. And what I've got is a script based on Richard's sermon that we'll be walking through. And I'll be walking through that as well on our screen. So you can watch us as we walk through it. And you can see the same script that we're working from and the scripture readings that we'll be doing. And so to get us started, Richard, do you want to talk a little bit about how you came to the Lord? Because when you gave this talk, it's been about 3 or 4 weeks ago now. You started by talking about, well, why were you standing that day giving a sermon? What brought you to the Lord, and what brought you to where we are now, brothers in the Lord?
Well, in 2008, I met Phil Morris. He's a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm. And one of our elders, one of our elders now.
We started. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. And we started talking about the Bible. I probably brought it up. I was a Baptist. I came from a Baptist background. Mm-hmm. And so we just started talking about the different scriptures, and he started bringing the truth to me. And so he invited us to Vacation Bible School. We went a couple years to Church of Christ Vacation Bible School. That's how we started. So one day I just said, I want to look more into this Church of Christ. I want to know what it's about. Everybody was nice. It was friendly. It was something that I've never experienced before. So I typed in and came up with some answers. And so that's why I came to the Lord in 2011. It didn't take me that long to, I guess I was just hard-headed, but yeah, 2011, yeah. August the 21st of 2011, to be exact, I was born again into the family of the Lord.
Awesome. Now, when you said that you came to the Lord, you came to the truth, you mentioned, we'll say Church of Christ. One thing we want to be really careful about when we talk about coming to the Lord is, does that mean you came to some denomination and you just kind of signed on to their belief system? What does it really mean when you say you came on to the Lord? This is a really important fact. I mean, this program is called Let the Bible Speak, right? So when we start talking about some church, why is it appropriate to talk about that church in the same context? I think that's really important that we explain that. What do you mean when you say you came to the Lord?
I came to the truth. It was obvious. Like I said, we came from the Baptist background, and so the sinner's prayer was what they. Then as I started studying with Phil and different members of the church, I seen that it was more broad than that. It was more. He held us accountable for more than just saying a sinner's prayer. It had to be all the steps and not just one or the other step.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, and just not to put words in your mouth, but one of the things that And I need to be clear, just because there's a specific name on the building is no guarantee that it's a true faithful, if you might say, body of the Lord.
Correct.
And again, it's not about,
That's right.
I signed on to this set of doctrines, or the name on the door, or I follow this individual, or I
Right.
follow
Well, I
this group of
follow the
people.
Bible is what I
Right,
follow. I follow
right.
the truths, which was the Bible, and that church followed scripture.
Right,
And so
right,
that's what I was looking for. I
right.
heard you say that.
Exactly. And I've even said this, in a church Bible class environment with a lot of people one time. We want to be careful. We don't want to make it sound like because we are, quote, Church of Christ, we are the truth, or
Right,
we
right.
stand for the truth. The truth
No.
is what the truth is. It's objective. So our goal
That's right.
is not to draw a circle around what we believe. Our goal is to look at what God's given us, His revealed will to us, acknowledge it as this is God's revealed
That's right.
will, this is His word, and we conform our beliefs to what it says. That's our pattern, and that's what we strive to be. So anytime we start talking about Church XYZ, I want to clarify, does the Lord want us to be a member of a church? Absolutely. We're part of His body. We want to be with other parts of the same
Right.
body, but we need to seek that which is His body, which is committed to being truly the Lord's body and not just some name on the door of the building. And I can't overstress that, because even
That's right.
and this, and I'm not just, I may be, quote, preaching to the choir, but and we need to understand that even as folks that may have been raised within, quote, churches of Christ, that, you know what, just because you were raised within something that has that name does is not an automatic guarantee that you're pleasing to the Lord. Now, you're going to talk about that in the sermon. This is a bit of a heads up, because you do get into that, right? And even within the church, we don't always do what we need to do. But that standard that we measure ourselves by is God's word. It is the Bible, and we let it speak for us. And we try to be obedient to it. Now, in doing so, we want to be bold in standing forth for the truth, right? But it's not our truth. We are only the messenger. We're not adding to it. We're just delivering it, right? And which, again, this talks to your sermon. So,
That's right.
not to, it's like I feel like we're
Yes.
getting so far into your sermon, maybe we're done. No, just kidding, just kidding. You want to go ahead and, I do that to people. Richard, do you want to go ahead and give your sermon? Now, what we're going to do, just kind of a heads up so this doesn't throw people off. What we've done is, Richard's going to walk through his sermon that he gave. He did a really good sermon, which is why we want to go back and look at it. We're going to walk through his sermon, and then I'm going to step in and I'm going to actually do most of the scripture readings. I've got the local mic on the computer, so if there's any hiccups in the audio from the Zoom meeting, if I read it, it should be pretty clear, hopefully. Plus, I love reading God's word, I won't lie to you. So, Richard, go ahead and get us started, and I'll try to back you up with God's word.
Okay. Making preparations are a part of life. People make preparations all the time for various things: Christmas, vacations, tests in school. Now, secular preparations are important, but spiritual preparation is more important. And let us notice some things for which we ought to be getting ready for. We should be ready to follow the Lord. Every person alive today should be ready to follow the Lord. And it's obvious that not everyone is following the Lord. And in fact, some members of the Church of Christ are still not completely ready to do so, or maybe some just follow him at a distance.
Looking at Matthew 26:58, and Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end.
Now, you ask yourself, why is this? Is it because in order to follow Christ, it will cost us something? First, it will cost us time.
Looking at Ephesians 5:15 through 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil.
Second, it will cost you money.
Looking at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And looking then at 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Now, just a quick aside, as I was thinking about this a little bit, Richard, as I was putting the script together. Sometimes I think it's easy to dismiss this idea of love of money, right? Because traditionally, the love of money, you picture like Ebenezer Scrooge with piles of cash. You get this idea that, oh, well, I'm not craving like big numbers in my savings account or checking account, or I want big piles of cash. In some ways, that feels abstract, like, oh, I just like money for the money's sake. But it really is desire for material blessings. You may not necessarily picture yourself as a millionaire, but what are there things you just are lusting after? I mean, it's not just money as a tangible item you can hold. It's the desire for physical things in this world. So be sure you don't give yourself the lame excuse that, well, you know, I don't need $300, you know, $300 in my wallet to be happy. I don't have a big pile of cash. Is that fine? But are you still lusting after other things? Are you jealous of your neighbor's new sports car? Are you up at night thinking that you need that 4K TV? Now, I'm hoping to get a 4K TV someday, but it's not necessarily sinful. But if that is that desire can be the root of a lot of evil, and it could be, as the Lord says, it can be vying for mastership of you in contrast to God, right? So anyway, sorry, Richard, go ahead.
Yes.
And you can certainly comment if you want, but I wanted to make sure we didn't let ourselves off the hook saying, well, I don't want big piles of cash. Well, sure, you might not want the piles of cash, but you want what you really want is what you can buy with the piles of cash. That's what you're really craving. Anyway.
That's right.
So
it is true.
Yeah.
Now, third, it's going to cost us some relationships. It will cost us some friends and even some so-called friends and
yeah.
sometimes even yeah. family.
Yeah. And the Lord talks about that in Matthew 10:34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, Richard, I'm going to ask you a question because I think this is an important point. And we talked about how you had come from not knowing the Lord. Maybe to some extent, right? I mean, you've been exposed to some church background,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
But one of the things that they've discovered is when they track people who have come from like a I use a broader sense, a non-church background into a church background, that they can predict with high degree of accuracy who will stay and who will go based on the relationships they change or break. And this is very real. If you say, I've committed myself to the Lord, but then you keep all these connections to the world, over time that will erode and it will draw you back. And it happens if you don't succumb to that, you're the exception, not the rule. Have you had to do that? I mean, have you had to really break ties from people that, you know, they were good friends, you really loved them, you missed their companionship, but you had to break those relationships because you knew they would draw you away.
A lot of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody becomes
even with family.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I've experienced a little bit of that, but I mean, don't want to go into too much detail. But after all, this is cast to the world, so not trying to pick fights or anything, but. Yeah. And again, these are real things. We're talking, you know, Richard's talking about very real sacrifices, right? And one of the things that I'm really big on when we talk about our faith in Christ, and not every sermon talks about this, but we need to make sure we are always talking about it, is does commitment to the Lord involve sacrifice? Yes, right? It is a higher calling.
Yes,
it calls
yes,
us yes. to be different. And you're speaking to that in this sermon. But at the same time, the reward is worth it, right? The joys that you come, the peace that you find, the comfort and faith that we acquire and really truly understanding what love means from love itself, the author of the universe, is so profound. It's so moving. It's all worth it. And so is there sacrifice? We can't whitewash that. Yeah, there is. But we want to keep coming back to, but it is worth it. It really genuinely is worth it. Okay.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So, and we have plenty of sermons and plenty of talks where we talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that brings to the fourth,
Yes, exactly. Go ahead.
Which is,
great job, Richard.
It will cost you your, it will cost you yourself. Mm-hmm. And in order to follow Christ, one is required to deny themselves. And that was a big, big, big issue for me. I think that's why it took me so long to come to the realization that that this is what I needed to do, because I was selfish and didn't want to deny myself of the worldly comforts that I was used to.
I totally hear you. Yeah, and the Lord talks about that, looking at Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Yes. And knowing that Christ came to this earth to seek and save the lost, we need to be ready to follow him no matter what it may cost us. And when we follow him, we follow his perfect example that he left for us. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, looking at Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And then looking at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps.
Yes, and in that, saying that, we should be ready to give an answer or a defense. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I was posting on the side here. I was trying to be the tech guy and the co-host at the same time. All right, hold on. Let's see. Oh, I officially have lost my place. Okay, yeah, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect.
Mm-hmm. And that seems logical, doesn't it? Doesn't that seem logical?
Sure.
So being ready to tell why you are a Christian and why you have chosen to live differently than the rest of the world, or do we even really know why? Perhaps many are not ready to give an answer because it requires the following. Something I don't like to do, study, requires a lot of study.
Yeah, Richard, no lack of study.
Yeah, a lot of studying, a lot of studying. Like in 2 Timothy 2:15 and 2 Timothy 4:13. It requires a right
position of heart.
The right position of heart. Philippians 1:17. And I can read that. It says, Philippians 1:17 says, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am a point of defense of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Three, it requires a right motive, when you are souls. And Proverbs 11:30 tells us, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He who wins souls is wise. Now, this last step is love. You have to have and do everything with love, like 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. That says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing.
Yep. And again, this gets back to the theme that we talked about earlier, is, God is love. And that is so fundamental to our faith. It's so fundamental. And I think, you know, we have a phrase that says, you know, you miss the forest for the trees. When we are obedient to God and we look at his word and we try to be faithful to it and we speak in truth, we're doing the right thing, right? We're doing what God asks of us. But through everything, even when it doesn't always seem that to be obvious, we are always acting in love because we are acting through God, and God is love. He is the definition of love. He's the essence of love. He is the creator, the author of everything that is love. So in its truest form, not the way we might distort it to be, but in its true form. And so again, this hits home the idea of, you know, being a Christian, being about serving the God of love and being one with the God of love. And there's no better place for us to be on this side of eternity and certainly on the other side of eternity.
It's so true. And so, those are just to name a few. But before we move past this point, I want to think about an individual who only thought that he was ready to give an answer in the defense. Mm. This individual was Peter. Mm. And when the rubber met the road, he denied the Lord three times. Matthew 26:35 states, Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Now, there's a difference in being ready to give an answer and thinking that you are ready to give.
How'd that work out for Peter, by the way? Did it work out pretty okay? Not so much. Not so much. Yeah, not so much. Yeah. Yeah, he he's famous for denying the Lord three times, right? Almost within a short period of time after making that very statement, he denies the Lord three times to somebody's face. He even swears an oath. So there's, like, to your point, there's a difference between saying I will do it and actually doing it. Yeah. You
know, yes.
Not so much. Not so much.
So we should be ready to do every good work. Paul told Titus that he was to put the people in remembrance of the first principles, including a readiness to do every good work, like in Titus 3:1. Okay, and so in Titus 3:1, and when it comes to good work, some may be harder to do, such as going to the house of a couple living in adultery and having an unpleasant conversation about the scriptures. Oh, yeah. Matthew 5:32, Matthew 9:1-9. Or the church might have to be called upon and exercise church discipline, and to withdraw from an erring church member, as in 2 Thessalonians 3:6 and 1 Timothy 6:5. Mm-hmm. Such works, although difficult, are good and very necessary. Other good works will be easier to accomplish, such as visiting the sick or going and seeing the nursing homes, or helping people who are in need, like in James 1:27. Now, you may have an opportunity to help those around you, support local events such as Vacation Bible School or a gospel meeting, teach a class, or go on a mission trip, or simply support others that are willing to do. Good works come in many shapes and sizes, and the church must be ready to do them. An active church is a living church, and an inactive church is a dying church.
Ouch, wow. All right, some of the scriptures that he was referencing there, Titus 3:1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Looking at 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we commend you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. And this is speaking to separating from those that are not walking in the right way. And this, I've seen churches split over this. This is a hard thing to do, right? But again, we're speaking about things that we're called to do. Now, looking at James 1:27, by the way, I love this particular verse. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, we were talking about God as the God of love. There you go, right? What does the Lord want us to do? Simple acts of kindness are pleasing to the Lord, right? Because He is, after all, the God. He is love. But again, we need to stay unstained from the world. We need to be pure. There's some stuff we need to do, Richard.
Yes, we should be ready to die for Christ. Now, I know that not everyone likes to think about dying, but that should not stop us from being prepared or from preparing ourselves. The reality is that we live in a world that is in many ways very hostile to Christianity. John 15:18-19. Now, when we turn our attention to the scriptures on this point, Paul was ready to die for Christ, and eventually he would in 2 Timothy 4:6-8. On one occasion, Paul would state, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but to even die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Acts 13. John would even record some very encouraging words to those who would die for the sake of Christ. In Revelation 2:10, we read, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. For 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." And the funny thing, well, it's not funny, but the good thing up there is that same crown of life is promised to us today.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is the promise that we're pursuing, right? You know, that's the race we are running and the prize we're seeking. Yeah. Yeah, and covering some of those verses that you were referencing there, Richard, looking at John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Okay. And I'll admit, I think that's, we're seeing more of that even now than we have in the past. Looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 6 through 8. And of course, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the young man Timothy. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." I don't know about you, Richard, but that last phrase really always kind of sticks when I read it. It's not just a matter of pure obedience. It really speaks to the attitude of the heart. But also to all who have loved his appearing. I mean, that speaks to our love and our desire to be with Christ. And ultimately, back to that theme of our understanding of, you know, we love love because love is God, and we love the thought of being with him. And I'm going to just share something real quick with you, because this from time to time I think about this, but whenever we are struggling with, you know, things of the world kind of pulling us away, and we know we've done some things we really shouldn't have done, but we've wrestled with it, and people may be a little bit different, but I tend to think that the root cause is almost always not so much lack of willpower as much as it is a heart that's pointing in the wrong direction, right? When we love his appearing, and we yearn to be with him, and we yearn to see his face, We yearn for his ultimate victory, where that's where our heart is at, okay? We may not always hit the mark, but we will always be striving to hit the mark, and we'll be moving in the right direction. And that really resonates when I read that, you know, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So when you talk about, if you sit down with somebody who doesn't really understand Christ's coming, and you talk about it with love and passion because you loved his appearing, you thought the Son of the Creator of the universe came, and he was one in the creation, came into that very creation to give us hope. And you love that. That is a heart that has hope in an eternity and can give hope to those who have not contemplated their eternity. And again, I just really love the way this is worded, to all who have loved his appearing.
Now, we should be ready for judgment. Now, imagine that you've planned a specific week to go on vacation. You have taken the week off of work, packed your clothes, and maybe made some hotel reservations, but you failed to save any money.
Oh, that's me.
How can you go without money?
Yeah. That's me. Oh, shoot. I didn't save any money.
You can't go without money. So you don't have no money for gas, for food, lodging, or souvenirs. Or maybe Christmas approaches. And you fail to get any of your loved ones a gift. Now, these things don't usually play out. Because we usually make it a point to save the money. And we count the days until we go on the vacation. And we do purchase those gifts for our loved ones. But how many Christians are actively preparing for the judgment? Now, the question is not if it comes, but when it comes. And how foolish is it not to get ready for something that we know is coming? The Lord will come like a thief in the night, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. And after then comes the judgment, 2 Corinthians 5:10.
Right, right. Looking at some of those verses, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And then 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And going back to what we were just talking about, if you loved Christ appearing, you will love his return. You yearn for that return. Judgment Day is a day of celebration. Right. It's a day of freedom. It's a day of reward. It's a day of unlimited joy like we can never experience on this side of eternity. But we can't escape the reality is there's the other side of that. And you don't want to miss that, right? And so we certainly appeal to folks, if you're not ready, a number one thing I'm going to tell you is grab a Bible and read it. Go to the New Testament and read it. But you don't have to do it alone. The goal is for us to work together. So feel free to reach out to us on this program, reach out on the Facebook page. There's some contact information still for Scott Mitchell, and he hasn't been in a program for a while, but he's still a warrior out there doing the Lord's work. He's just been doing it in a different field recently. So, we want to reach out to people and just encourage them. You know, if you're not ready, try to be ready. Richard, man, you got any thoughts?
Man, I just love, man. Love, get prepared. Like you said, read the Bible, man, and pray. Pray.
Oh, right. Yeah, we didn't talk. We really haven't talked much about that, but absolutely. Yeah, it's a two-way street.
We got to pray. Yeah. You got to talk. You got to talk to him.
Knowing you have
the praying's ear for us.
Yeah. Knowing we have the ear of the Creator of the universe at all times and that he really genuinely cares, that's profound and that's deep, right? It is really deep and very humbling, honestly.
It really is. It really is. Well, thank you. Very fun, man.
See, I told you this would be fun.
It
Yeah, the hard part was giving the sermon, right? Where everybody's standing around staring at you.
Yeah.
When we do the
Oh,
program, it's just
yeah.
kind of us hanging out. I mean, it really is meant to be fun and enjoyable
Yeah.
and encouraging, right? But it's meant to be relaxed. I mean, there's plenty
Right.
of just you can go get plenty of sermons online. That's not our stick, right? We're trying to do things a little
Yeah.
maybe just a little different.
Yeah.
Plenty of stuff out there that's just good, solid Bible teaching, but so we're just kind of hanging out on a Saturday. So, all right, you now we did this in the preview. You want to give us any of the big voice? You got the big voice for us, Richard. People need to know why you're Richard the Voice Newton. They need to know. Why don't you give us some voice? Got to really work up to it, don't you?
What you want me to do, Terry? I
Just
mean,
give us the
usually I just
man.
go
You've
up and
done it for
man,
me
I've
100
been, you
times. Give
know,
me the
I,
voice. Yeah, think you're all that.
hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello.
Hello. See, I can't get
How
that
are you
deep.
today?
Hello. I don't have that deep resonance like you do. I
Hello.
love that. What would I give to have the voice of Richard Newton?
Oh, stop it. Just stop it.
There you go. All right. See, I can't get that deep resonance like you can. I love it.
Just stop. Just
Just
stop.
stop it, man. You don't have to go there. See, I can't do it. I don't got the pipes for that. That's just awesome. All right, man. When we start tinkering around with doing some just general voice stuff, we'll try to get you into that, let you use that big voice of yours. All right. Well,
That'd be nice. I appreciate it. I think I get it. I
right.
appreciate it.
Well, hey, we hope we let the Bible speak this morning, and certainly we hope we did some good. Certainly hope we didn't do any harm, and appreciate you all listening. And this will be available on the website. It'll be
Appreciate
it'll remain posted on Facebook, and then we'll have it posted on our website. And the video posted there will be in high def, unlike Facebook, so that'll be good. And appreciate everybody
it.
coming in and checking us out. Everybody have a great day.